Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
So you get out, you work immediately after college.
And immediately. Then that goes on for about 3 years and then things really start, then real life started hitting.
Right. And you have this friend, Jordan.
Yes, good old Jordan.
Jordan. Yeah. Jordan is a very big character in this book.
And yes. And he's one of my, and ironic, and just a side note, he's one of my best friends today.
Is he a Jew?
Oh yeah. Total Jew.
Okay, just need to bring that up.
They're all Jews.
I know. Milo. I mean, they're all Jews.
They're all Jews. Seth Goldberg, Jew.
Yes.
And they have that description of him looking like a Puerto Rican Jesus, even
yes,
Ukrainian
love that.
Jew.
Yeah.
And talked much like, sounded much like Elmer Fudd via the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, yeah. That was
which is exactly movie. What he, you know, yeah, they're all Jews.
You bump into Jordan.
Yeah.
I think walking Tybalt, right?
Tybalt, yeah.
Tybalt,
yeah.
I didn't know how to say it, but I really feel like, in a way, this book is such a love story to Tybalt.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What a relationship with that.
Yeah, he was remarkable.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you have, I don't know if you have animals, but you have some animals in your life that are just, there's something else going on.
Yeah.
There's just something else going on.
Yeah. I mean, there are some, you describe some scenes where it's just like, he's otherworldly. I mean, it's incredible how smart he is. So you're walking the dog and you bump into Jordan and, you know, Jordan's like dealing marijuana and you're staying at your grandparents' apartment on 85th Street.
Yes.
Right in my neighborhood.
And,
he's like, you know, if you want, We need.
No, that was me. It wasn't him. Right, it was me.
He was like you. He was describing, and you were saying, if you want, you can store the marijuana.
No, I said, come upstairs, use the phone, and he looks at the 12 room apartment, and he's like, and I said, and he looks at the, and I said, and I insist that anytime you're doing what it is you do, come up and use the apartment.
Right.
And he cased the joint, which I loved saying. And he came back and he said, Rob, this could really work out. And I said, I insist it work out. And he said, you would be paid. And I said, no, I couldn't accept money. And he's like, no, you'd be paid a lot of money. And I was like, oh, okay. Stupid as fuck. But that was so funny about it because I was so stupid. You know, you think it's just pot. Who cares?
Right.
But then you find out it's like, you know, it's like a quarter ton twice a month.
Right. And you are storing it and you're trying to hide it from, there is one asshole doorman.
Yeah.
And you're using the freight elevator.
No, we used the front elevator.
Oh, the front elevator.
Yeah. And there was, with the first load we had up, there was a woman there. She's like, what's the box? And then Jordan's there with the guy who's the driver. And he's just like, and they're sweating and they're dying. And I'm like, and all of a sudden I became all foppy and effeminate. Right. And I said, oh, these are dear friends of mine. And they're opening a store in Tribeca and these are closed. And the store is shut for some reason. And I was always like, where was this Fifth Avenue panache coming from? And then I was like, and I was just doing this. She was like, and she said, oh, that's wonderful. And I'm like, the shirts are exquisite. It's just wonderful. She said, oh, well, what's the name of the store? And I made something up.
Yeah.
He left. We got the load in. And then Jordan looked at me and said, oh, my God, you're perfect for this. This is great. And I was like, and I felt, wow, I finally found my calling, you know, and I was getting like $3,000 a pop for every load we did, which doesn't sound like much, but this is like
$6,000 a month. And like
$6,000 a month. And this was 1988.
Right.
Plus he would give me $1,000 here and $1,000 there. And of course, when the first, after we did our, that first thing, and then we started like cutting down the pods and everything. And the next day, all the drug dealers coming in for getting their cuts. And it was like, it was so stupid because all these guys look like they don't belong in the building. They're all coming to my grandparents' apartment.
Obviously,
something is going on. And there's like, I go to my shitty mattress and I walk in at one point and I know it's like, has to be $1,000,000 because it's all 20s.
Right.
And I'm just like, you've never seen anything like this. And I said to, I was like, afterwards, was that $1,000,000? He said, actually, it's 1.2 million. And I was like, oh, maybe you should pay me more for doing this. And it's fun, you know, you're like James Bond. It was like, it was hysterical.
You said you would pour it out. You would take the boxes, right?
Right.
And you would put them in hefty, and then you would take the
hefty trash bags. Yeah.
Yeah. And you put them in the hefty bags.
Yep.
You'd weigh it and you would, then they would come and be like, give me my.
Yeah. Then they would come and then they go into my room. They conducted business in my room. I wasn't supposed to be privy to it. And then they would come and go and a carousel of them would come and leave.
Right.
And it was just like, you know, and I had all this money and all of a sudden I started buying all this gangster ghetto gear and like my back loosened up and all of a sudden I became this really like groovy guy. No, I felt like, I was really trying to get into the role of a ghetto gangster, you know, the sweats and the marshmallow shoes. And I had a Harley Davidson hat that I probably wore badly. And it was really great and stupid, but it was a lot of fun.
But you had... you said it like sort of, it made you relax. Like you didn't give a shit at auditions because you were like, I don't fuck.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. And it gave you this false sense of confidence and you had a secret. I mean, it was like, you know.
No, it gave you a huge amount of confidence because I didn't need it. Who the fuck needs to do this? This is so much more entertaining. I started dating this girl at the time.
Right. Julie.
Who actually, who got pregnant and who actually had my daughter who I just met six years ago.
I wasn't even there yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
But she was helping out with stuff. And it was, it was a blast. And I went up on these major movies and I got them. I probably was good, but it was also
give a shit.
I didn't give a flying fuck. I had real stuff to do. What did you and your stupid movie?
And it's just so I love the way you describe some of those auditions, and then the fact that you walk in and you're looking at these casting people and producers, you're like, oh fuck you, you fucking asshole. Like, I just want to have that. I want to go in and be like, you know what, you're fucking lucky to have me. You motherfucker.
Don't start. You know, it's fun for a while, but
drugs. I'm not doing it.
But it was Linus's brother, Tony, who I went in and asked him about it in Stephen's Landing. He said it's a fun life, but it's a short life.
Right.
And he did 2 years, and I have that line. Like, he said, if you do get busted and you go inside, you know, and you get no fight, don't back down.
Right.
Because that's how you get respect. And anyway. But
so you're dealing drugs. You meet Julie.
Yeah.
That's another, I think, great love story in the book. You meet her and she's just the hottest thing. You can't even fucking believe.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. Yeah.
And one night you go to the club where she works with a couple of friends. The strip club. And one of your friends can't even fuck it. It's the first time that it's the
Milo Goldstein. Milo Goldstein.
Yeah.
And it was Milo Goldstein who was like the nerdiest. He made Woody Allen look hip.
Yeah. And he's can't even like contain himself at this fucking strip club.
No, and he's spoken to her, had this wonderful relationship, and he's very mild mannered, and he's also still one of my best friends, but he's one of the most mild mannered, kind, sweet guy you ever met. But when he saw her come out, it was like he has this inner monologue, which I kind of love. It's like, oh my God, they never taught me this at Temple. You know, I never thought it would have been like, she looks like a Tuscan sculpture. How is that possible? And he said, Robbie and Moss are giggling like used car salesmen. I mean, how can they be so cool about this? I've never, oh my God, and his hand starts going up to touch her. And she just looks at him. She's like, Milo, what are you doing? And he was just like, oh, my, and he was all ashamed. And he's just like, are you having fun? And he keeps on saying, yes, yes, yes. Cause he doesn't know what else, cause he's so nervous and he's so uptight about the whole thing. But it was fun. I got to say a lot of it was fun. Yeah.
It seems really like you're living vicariously through these at a really amazing time.
Yeah.
You know, amazing decade. Then, so Julie ends up moving in.
Yes, she does.
And you and T-Balt and Julie essentially become a family. T-Balt is very attached to her.
Yeah, yeah, Tybalt. Very much.
I'm sorry.
Tybalt. That's Tybalt. Okay. It's after Romeo and Juliet, you know, the fiery Tybalt.
Oh, right. Of course, you know. I knew that, Tybalt.
No, I have a line in the thing in the book about, like, I called him Tybalt, and then says, but that's the Prince of Cats. And I was like, I pretended to know it even though I didn't know it.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck you, we like the name anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I knew that. What are you talking about? I have a speech impediment, okay?
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it, and it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, and I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
Then you're like, Jordan, what the fuck's going on? Everything's sort of lightening up.
Yeah, it was really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to go to L.A. And you, Julie, and Tybalt, go to L.A.
No, actually, they stayed back. I went by myself and I just missed them terribly. Yeah,
I had this whole vision that they came with you. And then, but I loved your time in LA. Like the one thing I loved, you said, the thing about LA is that you know, the weather's good every day and like, it's so fucking boring. And you said, you know, in New York, at least like it rains every now and then and you can be miserable. It's like, you can't be miserable in LA.
Yeah,
I fucking love that. And I
thought,
and you also had talked about this was pre where everyone thought only New York actors could act. So you were like, I'm so getting this. Oh, I thought they were there for a little bit. I didn't know that they didn't come visit you.
No, we had this huge reunion in the airport though, which was really kind of amazing, you know,
So you come back.
Yeah.
Julie opens, is like, I don't want flower to shop anymore.
Yeah.
Opens a flower shop.
Yeah.
And you kind of, the whole excitement of Julie, and you're still like, what the fuck's going on? Are we going to get more work, Jordan?
Yeah.
It's starting to slow down, and you're looking at Julie more as like, wait, where's that fucking passion, excitement? We're now like a boring family.
Yeah. And I was just so young, you know, I was like 28, 29. And it's just like, and for guys, that's like, I mean, women are just grown up by then, but it's like guys are just children until they're like 40, you know, and they're still children, you know.
Hello, please.
And I just wasn't ready for that, you know, data. You know, it's just, and I was still drinking like, God almighty. I mean, it was just crazy.
You were, the amount that, I can't believe you have a liver, by the way, after
we when I got sober, they were really surprised. I mean, I got checked out and everything's fine, thank God.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, so you, fast forward, Jordan has another deal, but this time it's not as, I guess, how would you like the, it wasn't as perfect as the other ones.
We've been dry for like eight months, maybe a year. It was really bad. And this deal coming in, it was like the driver wasn't there. One of the boxes was ripped open and I just knew in my gut, something is really bad about this. And I just don't. And I knew there's something about me knew it. And he was like, come on, let's take it in. And I knew like, if I touched it, that's not a good thing. And I kept on looking down to West End Avenue, looking at all these rows of parked cars. Right. And it's like, the air was like screaming at me, you know? And I remember taking that load up with, the pods are exposed, you know, this is really bad. So I take this is 250 pounds.
And
so
it smelled.
No, it didn't, because the pods were such that the pods were done. I mean, you're talking about bubble wrap bounces in there and there are a lot of layers to get through. But And then I took the first load up and I was yelling at Tybalt because he always get excited and I never yelled at Tybalt.
Right. Yeah. You said you got mad at yourself.
Yeah. And I felt terrible. And then I came down, we brought the second load up and that's when I opened the book and Jordan's just going cash, 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 just been dry for so long.
Right.
And that's when the fat lady started singing. It was just like all these guys started coming in and it was like, and then you're just like moving through rubber because when these really bad things happen, it takes a while for your to wrap your brain around it. Like this couldn't possibly be happening to me.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You break up with Julie. She tells you at some point in the future that she's pregnant. And you really want her to get an abortion.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, but ends up, of course, not getting it. And then Tybalt, you fall asleep in a chair at one point. You're so wasted. And you had a lit cigarette and you almost lit the place on fire. And
yeah.
And Tybalt, he woke you up. He licked your burnt finger immediately. That story with the vodka, you know, like you went to get some vodka and he jumped on the counter wow. And this all happened before. It was sort of like someone was telling you something, you know?
Yeah. Well, he was like, and he would look when I felt, I remember that cigarette and I remember when I woke up, he was looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing, man? And he was like, and he had woken me up. If he didn't wake me up, I mean, I don't know what happens. Right. You know, I mean, maybe my finger just gets burnt. Maybe it goes in the carpet. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, we've heard this story before.
Right.
But he really was like, it was something else going on. I mean, he was really like, he didn't like it when I saw Jordan. He didn't like the idea of Jordan.
It's just,
he was like,
immediately. Yeah.
And when we got busted, he was like, not, oh, cute little puppy. He knew like these guys, it was bad. And he just backed up to cool everybody. Like, oh yeah, I'm a dog, but I'm not going to do anything crazy.
Right.
And I said, I have a line, like he practically had his paws up.
Yeah.
And everybody went from like ready to kill, you know, because they said, like, we're going to have to shoot your dog if he does anything.
I know that.
I knew if they did that I would not be here talking to you. I mean, I was just like, that's like, you know, but he was just, and they relaxed. They stopped, you know, they cooled it. So
I love the description of the car ride where
you're
passing the town shop.
Chant shop for brassieres, Shakespeare.
I know,
and company.
It's like my neighborhood. I'm like, oh my God, I can just see this entire thing.
But
happen.
you could roam about footloose and fancy free.
Right.
Fucking like cuffed going downtown. And I'm like, I can't do that anymore.
Right.
Drag, you know?
Yeah. So
oh my God.
The whole trial and the fact that Ben, your horrible stepfather, really supports you.
He was remarkable in a crisis.
Right.
He was remarkable in a crisis. And I think Chekhov said, any idiot can handle a crisis. It's this day-to-day living that wears you down.
Right.
But he was quite remarkable. And he was so remarkable that the lawyers he got me, one of them said, does your stepfather have a background in criminal law?
Right.
And I said, no. And he said, we've never met someone as sharp as him. He's he's really on the ball. I mean, he's just, it's scary how much he knows.
It's also incredible how many people came there to support you.
Oh yeah. It was packed. Yeah.
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 And the way, I'm not even saying what the sentence was, but the way you wrote the sentence was perfect.
Oh, thanks.
Perfect. I'm not giving it away. You got to read the book, you motherfuckers. So cut to, you're sober.
Yeah,
you're sober. You have a great son, Caleb.
Yes.
You met your daughter.
At Julie, 6 years ago.
And?
She's amazing. We have a great relationship and it's ever evolving. I always
How
feel
old
like
is
I'm,
she?
She's 31. She
wow.
is like single mom. I'm a grandfather.
Oh
and
my
it's
God.
Like, but she's like, she's just, I'm in awe of her. I'm blessed that she gives me the time of day. We have dinner about once a week. I call her all the time. She takes my phone calls. She's 31. I'm sure the only person that she takes her phone, you know, because 31 years old is texting all the time. And she's just one of the most remarkably competent, and I mean that in the highest sense of the word, people I've ever met. I mean, she can just handle anything. It's just incredible.
You talked about in the beginning about how you this absence of your father.
Yeah.
And then, it's sort of repeated with this daughter.
Yeah.
Do you feel like really bad about those?
I got in touch with Julie like about 20 years ago, when I got clean, to do an amends. And I said in a roundabout way that like, if I, there's any way I can participate or anything I can do. But it's also, I had no lean on her because I had been there and I was in no way going to get in the way of that. But I made it clear, like, I would love to meet her. I got a letter from her. She was 24 at the time. So 7 years ago, she was just 31. And the letter read, my name is Audrey Henderson. It's my understanding that you dated Julie, in the 80s. I believe you're my biological father. I would just, I don't want to inject any mayhem or catastrophe into your life. I would just love a conversation if that's possible. And, I come to New York frequently. I live in Florida. I would love to meet you. And I called her immediately, and it was, we saw each other.
What was that phone call like?
It's scary because you weren't there and
just to hear her voice.
Yeah, no. And she knew that something was up because it was obviously a foreign number and stuff like that. She was very hello. And I said, hi, Audrey, this is Rob Sedgwick. And she was like, oh, hi. And I was like, hi. I said, and I don't remember what we talked about, but I said, of course I'd love to meet you, and came to New York a couple of weeks later. And it was funny. I was ready for this whole emotional cathartic thing. And, but I see her and she's tall blonde wearing these pink satin plant pants. But I didn't know her, so you're meeting a perfect stranger. So you think that there's going to be this enormous thing, but I spoke to Seth Goldberg about it with his speech impediment. And he said, he said, why would there be an emotional catharsis? You don't know. She's a perfect stranger.
Right.
And it's true. She's a perfect stranger. But I was really like, trying to listen as much as possible, not to babble too much.
Did you see yourself in her?
I saw my young, when you see early pictures of my father, that's what I see.
Wow.
She's more Julie's face. But when you see early pictures of my father, it's very similar. But the great thing is she has a great relationship. I mean, I see her all the time.
And she did have a father figure or something.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, she, we had dinner last week. She came and Jalen is the name of my grandson. Caleb and I were in the park and they came to meet us in the park. We were going to go out for dinner. They were having so much fun. She's like, why don't I just get food? We'll have dinner here. So she went to the She went to restaurants. We were all hanging out. And it was like, she's amazing. I mean, I'm really in awe of her. And I'm just so grateful that, that she's there and that she seems to really like me, I think. I mean, because she...
What's not to like, Rob?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't there, but it was like I'm really trying to make up for that.
But aren't you kind of glad that you weren't there the way you were?
I would have been a disaster.
I would have been a disaster. Because the way I'm fucked her up.
The way I'm with Caleb now, it's like I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Right. But it's like I'm there. I'm an adult. I don't go too far with, yet the yelling and screaming. He knows that he's safe. Knows that I love him, but it's fascinating because I've been with him since the day he was born. And then Audrey is like, she's a grown-up. She's a mom,
But she's going to be with you for the rest of your life.
She's amazing. Yeah. I'm crazy about her. I mean,
that's
and it's a real gift being, as as much of a pain in the ass. Well, she's not a pain in the ass. Caleb's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But it's just like, we're so blessed.
Oh, beyond.
I mean, it's like, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's like, it's such a gift, and also to be sober and present for it.
I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
It's just amazing when you think about the first 30 plus years of your life. I mean, you know, when you were in LA, you talked about, you know, getting, oh no, that was in New York. You got pulled over. Didn't you get pulled over for something? And it was, you didn't have a lot. You were driving your brother-in-law, Kevin Bacon's.
Oh no, we were driving. Well, Julie would always drive up to Connecticut. She always sped, but she would just bat her baby blues and they would give her away. Of course, I wasn't going that far over the speed limit. She kept on saying, go faster. Of course I get pulled over.
Right.
And a guy runs my license. I used to be a bicycle messenger and I have a chapter about that.
The whole bicycle messenger thing. Yeah. So you get in a fucking accident and you call them and they're like, oh, and you're like, I got to go to the hospital. And the guy's like, all right, well, how many packages do you have left?
Yeah, literally. He was like, but you're still in the neighborhood, right? Can you use your other hand? Well, maybe you can deliver the packages, then go to the hospital. Yeah, and you're so fucked up. You're like,
crazy.
No, I think I'll go to the, and I drove to the hospital, like with my busted fucking wrist like this, you know, I mean, it was just crazy. But the guy ran the license and my license was suspended because I got all these tickets from bicycle messengering. And it was, so they put me inside and they had, and she was, the guy threatened to shoot Tybalt and Julie went from like, she went from prim and proper to like, you're going to shoot our fucking dog over a fucking speeding ticket.
Yeah,
what
that.
The fuck? Cause she was a badass. I mean, she was really like someone you did not want to push and fuck with. And she was physically like one of the most powerful people I've ever seen.
Right.
And, but you know, we got bail posted. And I remember saying to Jordan, like, oh my, I told him what happened. He's like, oh my God, you thought shades of things to come. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And he said, don't worry, it'll never happen.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I just love your story. You've lived two lives. Pretty much. The book is fucking please buy the book, Bob Goes to Jail. It's so great. It's such a good read, even though I had to read it on my computer. I want a signed copy when it comes
out. You got it. You got it. And it's on Amazon. They can pre-order it right now, Bob Goes to Jail.
Oh, they can? Okay, yeah. Good. All right. I always ask, and thank you for being here.
You're just like the most delightful person I've met in years.
Really?
That hasn't been in my inner circle. Yeah,
oh,
you're
my
terrific.
God, I love
you're
you.
Really a pleasure. I mean,
okay.
It's really a pleasure. Thanks.
Let's keep that in the podcast, please, everyone. So I asked my guests two questions. Number one, what do you do for mental health? Do you take antidepressants? Do you meditate? Do you exercise? Like, what? We're very pro mental health, and we try to let everyone know there's no stigma and that everyone does something to support their mental health. So what do you do to support your mental health?
I exercise like a maniac, so I don't go crazy. I box a lot, and I go to the gym like too much. But
I used to do that.
Yeah. But I also make, I'm now the meetings are open again. I'm making meetings.
They were doing them via Zoom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a few Al-Anon meetings.
Zoom was tough, but I went live to an old meeting of mine and it was just like, and you know, there were problems with it because people were talking so much, but it was like, thank God, you know,
right.
And I'm lucky I'm an alcoholic because I earned my seat there and
right.
I can go there and I can, you know, and I might be people I don't know, but we all know each other because
right.
we have the same thing. So we belong to this really sterling brotherhood and
right.
sisterhood and peoplehood,
yeah.
which is really quite extraordinary. And I just wish that everybody could do it because it's about being a better person, accepting
right.
responsibility for your part in things, and moreover, helping other people
right.
and
that's
putting
the best
that
part of it.
Putting that above all of
yeah.
your shit, you know. So I'm really, I you know, it's funny because Ben was abusive, blah blah blah, and things were tough. But yeah, I'm so grateful now. I'm
yeah.
like, I have really high,
are.
I have high class problems,
right.
and it's like it's great, you know.
I used to box and then my fucking thumb, I got arthritis in my thumb. It's the best fucking exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so good for your head too.
Yeah. No, I used to spar a lot too. And
you must have really good abs.
And yeah, I've been told. Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
really? Have you? I've never heard that. No one has ever said to me in my entire life, you have really good abs. I'm just letting you know that.
I can show you.
Really?
I can teach you. Yeah.
Second question, you know,
yes.
I just want to say before I ask you this question that Brandeis University just came out with a list of things you're not allowed to say.
Oh my God.
And it's fucking ridiculous.
It's really hard. Yeah.
It's so fucking annoying. And one of them is kill me now, kill me, or I'm going to kill myself. So I really can't even talk anymore because I basically say, I'm going to kill myself or kill me now about 100 times a day, which is why my podcast is called Kill Me Now, because I get so annoyed at everything. I can't fucking take people. I hate everyone. But what pisses you off more than anything, like makes you fucking crazy mad? It could be anything. It could be like...
It could be anything?
Yeah, it could be people talking on speakerphone in the... Yeah, it doesn't matter. What fucking pisses you off?
Well, I've been in New York all my life, so I'm kind of pissed off the second I walk out
right.
the door. You know, I mean, I have a new dog, Charlotte, and so that's wonderful.
Right.
But pretty much like the COVID thing, like I moved and I tried to get in the elevator and I'm with Charlotte and I'm trying to get into the elevator. And I said, there was a woman and a man. I said, the woman, I said, is it okay if I take the elevator? I'm vaccinated, I had a mask on. She's like, well, I'm doing this show now, but yeah, you can come in. So I come in. And the guy, she's like, no, no, get away. No, no, get away, get away, get away. I'm backing up and I'm stepping on Charlotte and she's like, she's a pit bull, but she's a dainty
right.
thing. You know, she's like screaming, like, what's going on? She's like yelping. And I'm like, motherfucker, you don't fucking, you know, I'm yelling and screaming
yeah,
at the
you
guy.
You don't fucking talk to me like
you
that.
Know, and I said, you don't fucking talk to me like that. You know, she said it was okay. You don't fucking, and he's yelling at me. And of course the door closes. So, but that's a New York day.
Right. But then that's the bad part. The door closes and you're like, I'm going down the fucking stairs and I'm going to fucking scream at
him. Oh, I know that guy lives on 7.
Oh, I hate him.
He lives on 7. And then all the other people are like, so this building is so great, but the guy on 7? And they're like,
really?
Which one? I'm like, you know, there's a guy on 7. So I'm like waiting. And then he did it the other day. The elevator was coming up and down. And we'd been waiting, and it's usually a quick elevator. It opens up, and he's just sitting there in the front with his mask. And he's like, sorry. And I'm like, and I was like, oh yeah, you're the fucking asshole who was telling me the other day, and who like had me step on my dog. But I think if you're in New York, you know, you get mad because the subway is late. You get mad at people who are talking when you're like listening to something or you're trying to do something. People are like blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
I just wait and I wait for them to pass. And then, but you know, I think if you're a real New Yorker, yeah, I think you're mad all the time.
Oh, all the time.
I mean, not
you
like
no, you have so much stimulation coming at you, and you have no control. Like when I get on the subway and I'm like, I'd say I do a spot. Or a set at the Cellar, and then I have another set uptown at another club. And I get on the fucking subway, and it says 14 fucking minutes on a Saturday
night.
Like, I'm going to be late because you're a fucking asshole, and you fucking should have this train coming every 2 minutes. Like, it's just like, and you can't get any cabs anymore. Like, there's no cabs.
Yeah, I guess. And then you could do Uber, but it's so fucking expensive.
Oh my God, they quadrupled it. Then there's no city bikes left. Like,
yeah, uh-huh.
I know, it's awful.
I'm coming to see you perform, young lady.
Yeah, baby.
I'm finding out where it is, and I'm coming there. I'm going to be front row. You're a delight. You're an absolute delight.
Rob,
and thank you for reading it. A lot of I know a lot of people don't read anymore.
Oh, I know. Well, it's the only way to fucking learn shit.
Thank you.
But
thank you.
Everyone, get this book. It's fucking great. Bob goes to jail. But there's so much more than Bob going to jail in the book. Rob, you're the fucking best. Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much. And I can't
wait for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's really, it's a pleasure. You're an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to part 2 of Kill Me Now with Rob Sedgwick. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help and love and loyalty of Brittany Jo Sowards. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. I want more people to listen. I love interviewing people, and I think you know that. So 5 stars. 5 stars, please. Buy my book. Go to my website, judygold.com. You'll find everything you need to know about me there. You know, you'll find my book. You'll find articles I've written. You'll find really incredible headshots of my different hairstyles. It's a lot. So there you go. If you're on the Cape, please come see my show in P-Town, Provincetown. That's Fridays and Saturdays in July, Tuesday and Wednesdays in August at the Art House. I'm doing a bunch of other gigs. I'm going to Atlanta for August 1st. I'm going to be on Nia Aquafina is Nora from Queens on August 18th. There's a lot going on, people. So check it out. At judygold.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD. Tell everyone about the podcast, please. I really want to keep doing this. I really do love it. I love people's stories, and I love that you listen. Please wear a fucking mask if you're in a large group of people. God damn it. If you're not vaccinated, there's something wrong with you, and you're selfish and a fucking asshole. So please stay safe. I love all of you for listening. Enjoy the summer. And that's all I have to say. Thank you again. And as we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.